Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Today is a historic day. Today is a day America's never seen the likes of before. Donald Trump returning to Washington triumphant. A conquering hero. He truly is. This is a guy who has survived politically and physically. The unsurvivable. This is a president who withstood two impeachment attempts, five criminal cases he was facing, folks. This month, a year ago, on January 20th, Donald Trump was facing 700 years in prison over more than five criminal cases. It seemed impossible because at least four of those would be tried before liberal juries in liberal jurisdictions run more like kangaroo courts. Had he actually faced those juries, we know what would have happened. Multiple felony convictions. Why? He only ultimately, and honestly, it's miraculous. He only ultimately faced one of those juries, and they got a ridiculous 34-count felony conviction. He wasn't convicted of an actual crime. He was convicted in a blue court for being a Republican, and an especially good one, an effective one. Well, folks, had he faced the other juries, three of which would have been equally blue, folks, he'd have done, honestly, at least 50 years. But as miraculous as it was that those bullets, all three of them, missed him. And folks, do you realize that with the assassination? Do you realize it wasn't one bullet that missed him because he turned his head at exactly the right second? Do you realize two bullets went through his ear? Two. The third one missed him by inches. Do you know what a miracle that is? Well, if you're like me and you follow the daily ins and outs of those court cases, no less of a miracle than those bullets. Because every single one of those court cases fell apart through a means that had nothing to do with Donald J. Trump. A lot of Republicans probably think, well, brilliant legal strategy. No, it really wasn't. That's the funny thing. Every one of those cases, aside from the 34-count felony conviction, fell apart through some freaky means, usually having to do with the horrific morality of those trying the cases. So one by one, after that first felony conviction, the 34 count, there just never was another case. He honestly should be in prison right now. In fact, had those cases not fallen apart, especially the one in Georgia, he would be in prison right now. In fact, Donald J. Trump was supposed to be sitting in a courtroom on Election Day, would have been sitting in a courtroom on Election Day, had the left's chosen prosecutor, Fani Willis, not decided to defraud the county she works for with the help of her boyfriend to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Had that not happened, and had she not been caught, the case wouldn't have been delayed. It was scheduled for trial to begin by the early fall. He dodged every case similarly, including the classified documents case, in which the FBI and the DOJ ultimately got caught perjuring themselves before the court at a felony level. They tampered with the evidence, swore they didn't in writing under oath, and then were forced to admit, also under oath, that okay, they did tamper with the evidence. You're probably thinking, isn't that illegal? Yeah, there's at least two felony counts there. And that was just the classified documents case. Do you see why they're so terrified for Donald Trump to take office? So terrified, in fact, that they had to trigger Plan B, the assassinations. After the first assassination, it became very clear something was very fishy about the first assassination. But that wasn't enough to convince the American people they were trying to kill him. when the second assassination happened in less than 60 days, something, by the way, folks, that has never happened since the founding of this country, it became pretty clear. They were trying to kill him. Maybe they weren't sending the assassins, but they knew about the assassination plots, warned him about them, and then deliberately unsecured and insecured his rally. Folks, we still don't know that they didn't send those assassins because the 30,000 pages that Congress has requested about those assassinations, not a single page of information's ever been provided. In fact, do you realize that the golf course shooter had 17 cell phones? Thomas Crooks, 2 overseas encrypted accounts? What's the status of those? Where do those accounts go? Who do those phones belong to? Who is he talking to on them? Well, the FBI and the DOJ and the Secret Service and the Department of Homeland Security are all stonewalling. They refuse to tell Congress. So we actually don't definitively know that those assassins weren't sent by the deep state. My gut tells me they were. But whatever the case, Donald Trump wasn't supposed to survive it. So again, just to recap, 2 impeachments, 5 cases totaling 700 years in prison, 2 assassinations. If you're wondering why the deep state hasn't thrown anything else at him, they didn't have anything else planned. I mean, who the hell survives all that? So Trump today returned to the swamp like a conquering hero, because he is. Even taking the popular vote, winning the largest share of the minority vote for a Republican in recorded modern history. Over the weekend, one MAGA account on X, some guy with a couple hundred followers, triumphantly tweeted, "He conquered the swamp." I actually laughed to myself when I read that. He hasn't conquered anything. No, today is the 20th and we'll enjoy this day, but tomorrow is the 21st and that is the day on which the real war for America's soul begins. Again, we didn't win anything. What we won was the right to get on the battlefield. They had so thoroughly defeated us, we were no longer allowed on the battlefield. Our free speech was gone. We were censured by what turns out to be a police state. The court system had gone full kangaroo. Folks, you understand something? This is a guy, Donald Trump, who represents more than half the country, but couldn't get a Facebook or an X account until just the last calendar year. They had so thoroughly beaten us that we couldn't even get on the field to fight them, and they laughed about it. Now we're on the field, and that's all we've won. Don't kid yourself. The first question, and I don't know the answer to it, we'll answer it as we go along together. Can the agencies of the federal government, all of which we've learned are weaponized against us by the left, the CDC, the FBI, the DOJ, even the Census Bureau, which helped the Democrats steal no less than 7 congressional seats through fraud it didn't disclose until it was too late, and those representatives had already won in primaries. Every agency of the federal government is so completely weaponized that they no longer even answer to Republicans, even when Republicans are in power. Every one of those agencies I just mentioned and more go right on answering to the Democrat Party as if we were never elected. Sure, Trump's nominees will be appointed. They'll get their cardboard box and their picture of their kids, and they'll move into a nice cornered office somewhere in the agencies they supposedly run. But will they be able to actually take the reins of power? Nobody knows. In fact, in Donald Trump's last term, he never did take the reins of power at the FBI or the DOJ. The leaders of those organizations went right on answering to the Democrats and the swamp, all while busying themselves trying to get Trump impeached and then in handcuffs. That will begin again anew tomorrow. Their goal is simple. On the day that Trump no longer enjoys immunity, on the day that he is no longer president at the end of 4 years, they hope, they plan to have him in handcuffs. Don't kid yourself. Again, let me give you just the latest example of how these agencies don't answer to Republicans, even when we're in power. And it's this. Again, they demanded over 30, the House, which the Republicans have controlled since 2022, the House demanded over 30,000 pages of information on both assassination attempts from the ATF, from the Homeland Security Department, from the FBI, and of course, from the Secret Service. they haven't gotten a single damn page. They were just gaffed off by these agencies. And folks, it's entirely possible that Kash Patel goes into the FBI and Pam Bondi goes into the DOJ and they're simply ignored. There's a good chance without the mass firing of literally tens of thousands of people across these agencies, we never manage to take control of them. Let me give you another example of what I'm talking about. During the last Trump term in office, you'll remember Epstein. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile, didn't kill himself. Well, we just learned from the New York Post that Trump's own Department of Justice, led by the traitor Bill Barr, made Epstein an offer. They would get him out of the charges he was in, give him immunity if he would come up with something they could use against Trump. In other words, disclose something, anything, any kind of wrongdoing against Trump. This is Trump's own FBI and own DOJ, right? Well, Epstein tells his cellmate that he didn't actually know Trump really well and doesn't have any evidence like that on Trump. And he said they didn't care, that they would cut the deal with him anyway, whether he had hard evidence or option number two was simply to come up with something the Trump team couldn't disprove and testify against him. Again, this is Trump's own FBI and DOJ scheming to put him in prison while he's in office and they answer to him. Ultimately, Jeffrey Epstein, it appears, never came up with the goods that they wanted. A few weeks later, and clearly of no use to them, he was dead. After telling his cellmate, he just didn't have anything like that on Trump. That incredible story I just told you about Epstein, by the way, ran this weekend in the New York Post. That's just one small episode that shows you what we're up against. Right now, there's a furious and desperate scramble going on in these occupied, maybe unconquerable, I don't know, agencies. They're looking for compromise. They're looking for anything on Kash Patel. They're looking for anything on Tulsi Gabbard. They're looking for anything they can get on Pam Bondi. And there is a desperate march beginning to flip these people. Don't kid yourself how easy it is to flip these people. As a cautionary tale, I offer you Exhibit A. Jeff Sessions, who boldly went into the Department of Justice and lasted a few weeks until the Democrats made him step aside and let them run the agency. How about the most recent example? Mike Johnson. Yeah, the Speaker of the House. Always been a solid conservative for the most part and went in strong as Speaker of the House in October of 2023, vowing no funding for Ukraine. In fact, it was one of the promises that he made to get elected Speaker. And what people don't remember about that is that Johnson actually stood really strong. In fact, Johnson's greatest achievement was the 6 months he lasted, stubbornly refusing to fund Ukraine. Do you know what happened during those months? 70 billion euros. That's right. Europe was actually forced to fund the Ukraine war because Johnson said he wasn't gonna. You know what that proved? We never needed to fund the Ukraine war. If we stopped chucking cash out the window every time we drive by Ukraine, Europe would have done it for us. But we're so dang stupid, they let us fund the Ukraine war. And Mike Johnson proved it. In fact, had he stood strong, Europe would still be funding the Ukraine war, and we wouldn't be chunking $60, $70, $80 billion at a pop at Ukraine. But Mike Johnson only lasted 6 months before they turned him. And boy, did they turn him. Mike Johnson's always been one of the biggest opponents of FISA spying of 702, which basically takes the illegal Bush and Cheney spying on Americans that was so scandalous and writes it into law. The FBI has broken that law, usually every year breaks it somewhere between 500,000 and 1,000,000 times. It's so bad inside the FBI that they background Republicans with the FISA search computers that were only supposed to ever be used against terrorists and then only with the permission of the FISA court. But people at the FBI use it to look up boyfriends, girlfriends, potential dates. We know this. Mike Johnson was one of the most passionate against it, wanted to end Section 702, which even creates a program and a computer system capable of going through my emails, your texts, our phone calls, our most private conversations, even every keystroke we type. Mike Johnson was determined to end it, had been for years and could have. But what did he do? Reauthorized it, put it on steroids. Oh, and gave the FBI new spy powers that allow them to go to any apartment complex, any building, and force those who are in charge there to allow them into the server to spy on any American they want, all without a warrant. Wow, that sounds like a police state. It is. And Mike Johnson created it, which is really remarkable, because if he'd always supported FISA 702, you know, the 702, then that's a section of the law, then it wouldn't be that surprising. But again, he was the most vehement opponent. Now, Mike doesn't even fight. He does whatever the hell they want. My point is this. It took him from October 2023 to April 2024, 6 months to flip Mike Johnson. And right now, they're preparing to go to work on everyone from Cash Patel to Tulsi Gabbard. Some of them will crack. No human being can withstand that kind of pressure, especially if they have secrets in their past. One of the most critical pieces of infrastructure the deep state actually possesses is its censorship and spy network that runs worldwide. It both spies, and we've documented this before in the Battleground America podcast, it both spies on Americans and supposedly free people the world over, but it also censors them. Well, keeps them, you know, from saying things that make Democrats and liberals look bad. You can say whatever you want if you're a liberal. Well, do you think they're going to give that spy program up easily? By the way, they run it in concert with the British military and the spy apparatus of England and Australia. They're not going to give that up easily. So right now, they're also going to work on Pete Hegseth to see if there's any more, you know, compromise in his background. At least one of these people, if not all of them, will crack. Almost no human being can withstand what they're about to get hit with. So yeah, January 20th, pretty significant date in U.S. history. January 21st, way more significant. It's the day the war begins. The one that will determine if we get to be a free people, unencumbered and unenslaved by our government, or if this, Donald Trump's inauguration and the 4 years that follow, is just a small blip of freedom in between the creation of a totalitarian regime and its final conclusion. But this time we have something we've never had before. We have a truth machine. We have X. And as long as Elon Musk rolls over every morning and still feels like bringing free speech to the world, humanity will have the most formidable weapon it has ever had to fight for freedom. And that is true, unfettered free speech. Brought to you digitally, through technology that has never existed before in human history. In order to continue bringing you that free speech, Elon Musk, like Donald Trump, will have to stay alive. If Mark Zuckerberg joins Musk, and I don't know if he will because I'm still censored as of today on Facebook. I don't know if Zuckerberg's serious. But if Mark Zuckerberg chooses to join Elon Musk, he'll be put on the hit list too. They will kill them in order to take away our free speech. There's simply no way forward for them. But we have more of an upper hand right now than we ever have had in my entire lifetime. We actually have a chance now. We didn't have that a year ago in January. Worse yet, Donald Trump faces another enemy, one just as capable of sinking his presidency as any of the weaponized agencies, maybe more so. Elon Musk tweeted about it over the weekend. He got 47 million views. He simply wrote this: "Major and immediate action is needed to prevent America from going bankrupt." He was actually retweeting a tweet from DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. Here's what it said. "The last time a comprehensive review of the federal government was completed in 1984, the budget was $848 billion, national debt was $1.6 trillion, and debt to GDP ratio was 38%. The budget is now $7 trillion, the national debt is $35 trillion, and the debt to GDP ratio is 121.6%. So from 38% in 1984 to 121.6% now. The Democrats' goal going forward is going to be this: destroy the economy. Because if they can destroy the economy, if they can sink the dollar, if they can spin inflation out of control again, they can destroy Donald J. Trump as surely as another FBI indictment on the day after his presidency would. Pray they can pull it together, because this is going to be a battle unlike any we have seen so far. And that's saying something, considering that Donald Trump had to overcome, again, 2 impeachments, 2 assassination attempts, and 5 cases totaling more than 700 years in prison just to get to this point.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.